Hello, this is Daniel Orton, pastor of Harvest House United Pentecostal Church in Marion, Kentucky. It is our desire to see hurting hearts and minds healed as they are born again into the kingdom of God. It is my desire that this podcast will be a blessing to you and help bring you closer to Jesus.
But we have a lot of fun, and it's such an honor and privilege to have him here with us today, and it's a privilege and honor to have many of you here today. This is a very good crowd on this Sunday. We're thankful. This is, whether you realize or not, this will be the last Sunday we'll be in church of 2022. Next Sunday being Christmas, we're not going to have service on that day. Then the following Sunday is the first, so we're not going to be, this is actually the last Sunday we'll be in church. And we'll have church a few more times as far as a Sunday. So we're thankful to be able to be here today on this day. And glad you're here, each and every one. Good to see Stephanie back there and Sydney and Destiny somewhere and Sister Rita. Glad to see you here. And glad to see everybody here today. I will, something I'd like to talk to us about today. Know where Jake can run off to. He'll put this on the screen, I guess, in a moment. But let me talk for a second, and then I'll get into this. But I do want to say I appreciate Bethany in Texas leading us into worship today. Appreciate them doing that. And I'm thankful. I mean, appreciate what Bethany in Texas does. They do so much here for us. Jacob, he works on the screen for us, gets that going. He does a lot of leg work, running, and any of the snacks and stuff you get after church or before church, Jacob is usually the one taking care of that. And you may not think that is a big deal, but it is when it's not here. I promise you, I hear from different ones, but we're thankful for what he does. And I also want to say I'm very thankful for my beautiful bride. I love her so much. Isn't she beautiful today? She looked great. Look, she's looking at me with a frown, but she's still very beautiful, and I appreciate her so much. And each and every one that's here today, thank you. I'm going to read a few verses here today, and I don't thank you. If you prayed, I don't know whether you did or didn't pray for me. My voice feels a little better right now. It may not when I get done, but I'm thankful right now. It does feel a little bit better. So I'm going to be reading from the book of Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. It is some famous scriptures for this time of the year. If you would stand with me for the reading of the word, you can be seated after we get done. It's just tradition. Traditions aren't always a great thing, but I like this tradition. I just have three or four verses, so once we get done pray, you're more than welcome to sit down. You're welcome to stand and sit down anytime you want. I'm not your boss, but appreciate you honoring and that kind of stuff. But Matthew 1:18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. And the short form of this is basically the Holy Spirit overshadowed her and she became pregnant. And Joseph found out she was pregnant. It wasn't his. It's like, I'm getting rid of her. But the angel come to him and told him something different. But Joseph, her husband, being just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take thee, Mary, fear not unto thee, Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name, everybody say it with me, Jesus. Should call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So if you would pray with me or allow me to pray today. Lord, we're thankful for each person here. We're thankful for what this season means. We're thankful for every individual that's here today, God. Nobody is here by accident. I know that. You have divinely purposed everyone here today. And I just pray that you would help us to receive what you have for us today. In the wonderful, powerful name of Jesus. The church say, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing, honoring the word. So I'm probably going to strip my voice, and Jason, you'll be without my voice probably tomorrow. So it's either like, praise God already. We're getting him to praise God today. So, but we all know this. I would think that we would. You've heard it already this time of the year. It goes something like this. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Come on, you're singing with me? With the kids jingle-belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. See, my voice cracking. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all. With those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings with friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all. There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. Help me out, somebody. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmas is long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. I don't know about you, but I do love Christmas. Anybody else here love Christmas? Come on, just now, all of you ball humbugs, you're not getting nothing for Christmas, right? I love Christmas. But here's the question that I have today. Is it really the most wonderful time of the year? Unfortunately, it has become the time of the year when people are trying to keep up with each other for gift giving. It's the time of the year when people are stressed out over spending money that they don't have. It's the time when many people fall in depression. It is when we miss loved ones that are gone. It's a time when businesses make millions on our spending for Christmas. Bah, humbug. Right? And so, with that, people have given us a very famous slogan to remind us of what this time of the year is really all about. Does anybody know what that slogan is? Jesus is the reason for the season. Have you heard that yet this year? If you haven't, you're hearing it today. Jesus is the reason for the season. And just for the record again, I do love this time of the year. I absolutely love the Christmas story. We had a play last week. You guys that were in the play, you did such a great job, and I'm so proud of our Christmas plays. I feel like every year is just great, and I just love the Christmas story. Jacob's talking about a little bit about, you know, Mary and Joseph, and I read a little bit of the story here, and we love to have the wise man. I just love the Christmas story, and I like food at Christmas time. Anybody like the food? I love the family time. I love to get together with the family and the friends, and Christmas morning we're planning on going to my brother's house, and we're going to have Christmas breakfast, and then hopefully Christmas sometime my kids are going to be at my house, and we're going to be eating, because I love the family time, but I also like the food. Anybody like the food? I love giving presents. I don't know if I love it as much as my wife does. I don't think Corbin's going to have any presents left. Every time he comes to the house, it's like, picks up a gift. And he knows already, because Bethany's let him open one. If he opens up a gift, there's something inside there that he wants. So I love giving presents. Anybody love that? And guess what else I love? I love the food. Anybody else like the food? Matter of fact, I like getting presents. I've got a Christmas list on my iPhone. If any of you want me to share it with you, I don't care a bit to give it to you. And that way you can get me a gift. And I enjoy getting presents. Anybody else love getting presents? Anybody? I love getting presents. And you know what else I like? I like the food. Anybody tell I like the food? I love everything about Christmas. I love the fact that it looks like we may get us a white Christmas this year. Anybody excited about white Christmas? I'm excited about the white Christmas. But today, I didn't come to discredit or credit Christmas. I come to talk to you today a little bit about an issue I have with this slogan. The one I just told you about. Jesus is the reason for the season. To be honest with you, this slogan is good, but it's so incomplete, it's not even funny. Yes, Jesus is the reason for the season. But today I want to tell you this. He is so much more than that. And with that, I want to talk for just a few moments here today on this subject. Jesus is the reason, period. Okay? Jesus is the reason, period. And today, that's just my message on this Sunday morning before Christmas. Jesus is the reason, period. Not just for the season, but Bobby, he's the reason for, period, everything. And I read it, Matthew 1:21. It said, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Jesus is not only the reason for this season that we're celebrating right now, but I want to tell you today, he is my reason for just being here today. I'm glad to be in the house of God today, and I'm glad to be here. But I want to tell you what, I'm just glad to be a part of the kingdom of God, because I wake up in the morning and I think about Jesus. I walk through the day and I think about Jesus. You can ask Jason. I've always got an earbud in my ear, and I'm listening to something. It's either going to be preaching or it's going to be songs about Jesus. And I'm talking about it with my family. I'm talking about what we can do to help see somebody saved, or what we can do to see somebody get closer to the Lord. That's my whole being in life. And I believe that's what God has called every one of us, is that needs to be our sole purpose in this world. Jesus is not only the reason that we're celebrating here today, but he's also the reason that you're going to celebrate January the 1st and April the 1st and just whatever random day you want to say. Every day that you live, Jesus is our reason, period, in this life. You see, the name Jesus, it means Jehovah has become salvation. There's no greater word or name in this world outside that name of Jesus. And the reason it's so powerful is Jehovah, which is God Almighty, has become my salvation. I don't know how you feel about this, but I was lost. I was raised in church all my life. My very first Sunday I was out of the hospital, I went to church because that's where mom and daddy took me. Mom and daddy had me on drugs. You've heard me say this. They drug me to church. Whether I liked it or not, I was going to the house of God. And I always didn't like it. And I got away from God. And I'd done stupid things I should have never done. I had my share of doing the drugs and doing stupid things between the age of 12 and 16. I was lost. If God had come back, I would have went to a devil's burning hell. I would have. And I'm thankful that Jesus means salvation, because I had to figure it out for myself. And Jesus saved me. He saved me from my sins. And guess what he's still doing today? He's still saving me. Because I'm not perfect. I'm messed up a lot of times. Jason, it's perfect that you're here today, because he's seen me in some of my imperfections when bosses has made me upset. He's heard me complain to him some. And as a child of God, especially a preacher, I shouldn't do that. But he's heard some of that. So he's seen that I'm not perfect, as none of us are. I needed Jesus in my life, and I still need him every day, because my boss is still going to make me mad at times. And my beautiful bride back there, as beautiful she is, nobody can make me as mad as she can. Nobody. And when I get upset like that, I need Jesus, praise God, more than just a Christmas season. I need him in the middle of February. I need him in the middle of whatever time it is. You can make him whatever you want him to be, but I want us to make him what he is today. He is King. He is Lord. He is God Almighty. As a matter of fact, let me just tell you a little bit about who the Bible says that he is. He is God, and he is the Almighty. mighty. And I've got a real long list that I'm not giving it all to you today, but I'm going to give you a little bit of it. From A to Z, He is everything does. He is, the Bible says, the Alpha and the Omega. He is the Anointed One. He is the author and the perfecter of our faith, the beginning and the end. He is the blessed and only potentate, the bread of life, the bright and morning star. He is the captain of our salvation. He is the chief cornerstone. He is a counselor. He is Emmanuel. He is the everlasting Father. He is the faithful and true. He is the first and the last. He is the friend of sinners. He is God with us, the good master, governor, high priest, our hope, image of God, Jehovah, King of kings, King of glories, Lamb of God, life, light of the world, living bread, living stone. Come on, I got a few more I'm going to read to us here. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the Lord of lords, Lord of all, Lord God Almighty, Lord strong and mighty, Lord in all righteous, your Holy One, the Lord your Redeemer, the Mediator, the Messiah, the Mighty God, the Only Begotten. He is the only wise God, our only Savior, potentate, power of God, the great Physician, the Prince of Life, the Prince of Peace, Prince of the Kings of the Earth, propitiation for sins, the Redeemer, the Resurrection of Life, our Redemption, Righteous Judge, Savior, Servant, Shepherd, and Bishop of our soul, Good Shepherd, Surety, Sure Foundation, True Teacher, True God, True Vine, Truth, the Way, which is, which was, and is to come, Wonderful in the Word of Life. And that's just a few names of who He is. But the best way to say that is just call Him Jesus. Because in Jesus, that name, it encompasses everything that says anything about who He is. He is our everything. And every one of us are going to bow down to Him one day, whether you want to or not. You may not serve Him here today, or you may serve Him haphazardly. But I'll promise you, everybody is going to bow down to Jesus someday and recognize Him as who He is, which is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Whether we do that today in this life, or whether you do it at the end of life on Judgment Day, whether you like it or not, you will bow down to Jesus and say you are King of Kings. And Preston, I want to do it today while I still have a chance to tell Him how great He is. Philippians 2, 8 through 11 says, "And being found in the fashion of a man, and humbled Himself, and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted Him, and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God and the Father." Acts 4 and 12 says it this way, "Neither is our salvation in any other name, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Somebody look at somebody beside you and tell them, you must be saved. You got to be saved. Amen. Because if not, you'll be lost. And nobody really wants to be lost. And I don't know what you have need of here today, but I come to tell you, Jesus is not just the reason for the season. He's the reason for living. He is the reason every day that you wake up. And I believe people need to get a revelation of exactly who Jesus really is. I question so many times, why do people treat Him, Jesus, so haphazardly? Why do we treat Him that way? I'll let it get quiet here for a second if you hear that question. Why do people treat Jesus like He's second rate unless they need Him in that moment? Why do people so easily miss times of prayer and times that we need to study His Word? Why do people so easily miss church anytime they want to miss? Why do people not realize that He, Jesus, is more and He wants to be more in every life that's in here today and every life that is to come even still yet? The Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatian church and he gave us a little bit of the answer. Listen to it as he said in Galatians 1, 6 through 12. He said, "I marvel that you're so soon removed from Him that called you in the grace of Christ into another gospel." He said, "There's not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." There's people that's perverting the gospel, telling you that, you know what? All you got to do is accept it, and that's all you got to do. And you can live any way you want to live and act any way you want to act. But he goes on and says, "But though an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, I say now again, if any man had preached any other gospel, he want to make sure we understood what he is saying. Unto you that you have received him, let him be accursed. For I am now persuaded, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if you yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. He says, look, you can't just serve man, your own feelings, what you want to do. And he goes on to say, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So everybody say this word for me. Say revelation. Revelation. We think revelation because honestly, I believe we're living in the end time right now. And we think of Revelation, the last book in the Bible. And we think, oh, we're kind of scared of that. You know, we don't talk about it. 666, the mark of the beast, and Jesus coming back on horses and all. But there's something to be said about Revelation. Because it's more than just the last book in the Bible. It's something that everybody needs to get, is a revelation of who Jesus really is in our life. And he's got to be the most important thing in our world. Because when a revelation comes to somebody, I have a revelation of who Jesus is. My beautiful bride's taking care of the grandson somewhere there. But I love her like life, okay? I love my two kids, my three kids, my four kids, I guess I can say now. Even though Corbin's a grandkid, he's still my kid. And Texas may be married in, but he's still my kid. I love my four kids like life. But if they decide they don't want to live for Jesus, I have a revelation that I'm going to serve him to the day I die. I don't think my bride would ever walk away from God because she loves God like I do. But if she ever was to decide, I'm not going to live for God and walk away, Sister Velma, I'm going to love Jesus no matter what, because I have a revelation that he is the greatest thing in this world in my life. I wake up thinking about him. I walk through the day thinking about Jesus. I go to sleep at night thinking about Jesus. And more than that, I think about what I can do to help you that's here and those that's in that other church and those that people that I walk into every day. I kind of think of some kind of way I could help people know more about Jesus. I feel like the Apostle Paul in Romans 8, 35 through 39, when he said, who will separate us from the love of Christ? There's nothing like the love of Christ. Jason, he tucked me back in when I acted like an idiot. I was raised in church all my life, but I walked away from God. Bought my first joint behind the church that I used to go to. I'd done stupid things I should have never done. I walked away from God, but Jesus took me back, and he saved my life. He should have just went ahead and killed me and got rid of me. But Sister Michelle, I'm glad he didn't do that. He saved me anyway. And I'm thankful for this season that we celebrate the birth of Christ, but why can't we celebrate it every day? Because Jesus is the reason, period. And this is what Paul said. He said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? He said, shall tribulation? That's trouble if you don't know. Distress? Persecution, that's when people are giving you a hard time for what you're living. Famine, nakedness, pearl or sword. He said, as it's written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. But he goes on to say, nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. He loved me enough. I am more than a conqueror because he's loved me and I've been born again. And he goes on to say this, Sister Heather, he says, for I am persuaded. I wish to goodness somebody could walk out of here today and you would be persuaded that Jesus is the greatest thing in life. And he says this, he said, for I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. He said, height, nor death, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That word persuaded means this. It means to be induced to believe, to have faith in a thing, to be convinced. There is nothing you can do to convince me that the love of God changed my life. And there's nothing you can do to convince me that the love of God can't change your life. You've not been too bad. You've not went too far. You've not done too much. God went to the cross of Calvary. Thankful that he came in the manger, but it wasn't about the manger. And I'll be honest with you, it wasn't all about the cross. At the cross is where he became the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. But if Jesus only died for the cross, we'd be in trouble. He didn't only die on the cross, but Jason, he also rose again. He also gave us hope of eternal life when he rose again. Because when he rose again, he proved to us that you can kill out this flesh that we all deal with. And by his spirit, we can raise up again. It's the spirit that Jacob was talking about. I'm persuaded Paul had a revelation about Jesus Christ. He decided nothing can separate me from Jesus. Nothing, nothing, nothing. The writer of Hebrews talks a little bit more about it. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, he said, therefore, we ought to give a more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Paul's letting us know right now, we can hear about Jesus, but it is possible to let that slip away from your life. Have you ever been there? I have. Because my original time that I ever found Jesus is when I was 9 years old. But at 12, I found myself where I slipped away. And I was away from Jesus. He goes on to say, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression, which is sin and disobedience, received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Do you know there's a great salvation for everybody here today? Now, Jesus, yeah, he is the reason for this season. But he's also for the reasons, he's also for the season of summer and spring, fall. He's the reason for everything that we have. And let me tell you today, hell is full of good people who were not just actively opposing Jesus, but who simply drifted into their neglecting to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are people who know the truth, who even believe the truth. They're aware of the good news of salvation and the fact that new birth is provided in Jesus Christ, but who are never willing to fully commit their lives to living and serving Jesus. And so, they drift on past the call of God into an eternal destiny lost. Jesus is the reason for us being here and being alive. I won't be real much longer today. I realize it's holiday time, and to be honest with you, I'm tired myself, so all right. But I'm not going to be much longer here with this, but I want somebody to tell somebody close to you, just say, hey, Jesus is the reason, period. Jesus is the reason, period. You see, this is what the Apostle Paul said in Acts 17:28. He said, for in him, he's talking about Jesus. He said, in him, we live, we move, and have our being. Yes. He was saying, in him. In him, Sister Michelle, that's why I move. That's why I live. I have our being. In Jesus, I live, move, and have my being. Is that how you feel about Jesus today? What are you going to do with Jesus? Today I'm presenting the gospel to people here today at this Christmas time. And are we going to do Jesus like we do our Christmas season? Are you going to set him up on a shelf just to look good for a season like we do our Christmas decorations? Amen. You might be one of those who just put your Christmas tree up the night before Christmas and takes it down the night after. Now, at our house, we have way too many decorations to do that. It takes an act of Congress to put up Christmas, all right? That's why we start sometime in November and usually don't take it down to mid-January. It's just too much to do. Too much to put up there. But unfortunately, we got a lot of people who treat Jesus the same kind of way. We only put him up when you need him. And when you're done with Jesus, will you put him back in the attic like we do our Christmas decorations? Or out in the garage? Or maybe you'll put him out in the outbuilding into a season when you need him again? Jesus, that's my problem I have with Jesus being the reason for the season. Because if it's a season when you need him, well, you'll take him. But if it's not a season when you don't need him, you may put him back on the shelf or you may put him back in the attic. Because Jesus is more than the reason for Christmas. In him, Jesus, I live, I move, and I have my being. In him, that's my life. There's a scripture in the book of Matthew, chapter 27, 19 through 26. I'm not going to read it, but let me paraphrase it a little bit. because we know that, I said it a couple of times, that Jesus being, you know, Christmas is not all about the manger. The whole purpose of Christmas is about the cross and Him resurrecting. So we identify the birth of Jesus, which, you know, we celebrate the birth of Christ. This is what we call it with Christmas, you know. But this story here in Matthew is actually what the purpose of Christmas is about. Jesus was fixing to be crucified. In Matthew 27, we see that when Pilate, he sat down in the judgment seat and he had his wife with him. And his wife said, look, telling her husband Pilate, don't have anything to do with this Jesus. He's a just man. She said, I've had some dreams tonight, and I just think you need to take your hand off this guy. But the people kept pressing Pilate and said, crucify him, crucify him. So Pilate had this idea. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. There's a man by the name of Barabbas, and I'll give the people a choice. Will you take Barabbas? Because at this time of the year, he would always allow one prisoner to be released. So he was thinking, well, maybe it's just these leaders that want this Jesus crucified, and I'll take this Barabbas. He was a very notorious criminal. I'll take him, and I'm surely the people will pick Jesus over Barabbas. And the governor asked the people, he said, will you take Jesus or you take Barabbas? He said, What? Which one do you want? And all of a sudden, the people begin to cry out, give us Barabbas. They chose at that moment, no, we don't want Jesus, but give us Barabbas. And Pilate said this question to them. He said, what shall I do then with this Jesus, which is called Christ? And they begin to cry out, crucify him, crucify him. And so they released Barabbas, and then they scourged Jesus, and they delivered him to be crucified. I want to ask this same question today to this group of people that's here today. What are you going to do with Jesus? When this Christmas season is over, what are you going to do with him? Are you going to quit celebrating the birth of Jesus? Are you just going to stop thinking about him? Because right now it's easy to think about Jesus. I mean, you see all kinds of things. When it gets Easter, it's easy to think about Jesus. People's talking about Easter. But my question today is, what are we going to do with Jesus? I don't know why anybody would not want to live for Jesus, but people do. And I know you might not think this is a typical Christmas message today. You may think it's just a little bit heavy. But today, I feel this heaviness in my spirit because I want to make sure people make heaven their home. Because Jesus said, he said, I am the way. In John 14 and 6, he said, I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And if Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, I want to pick Jesus. I want to pick him. I'll pick Jesus over Barabbas any day. But the Jews picked Barabbas. The Jews picked Barabbas. And you might be sitting here thinking, you know what? That's a no-brainer for me. I'm gonna pick Jesus any day over top of somebody that's a notorious criminal and a killer. And that's what Barabbas was. He was a notorious robber. And they planned to condemn him to death. But instead, people chose Barabbas. You might be thinking, why are you talking about this? Because of what Barabbas means. Here's what Barabbas means. Barabbas means confusion. And we have a world full of people that is choosing confusion instead of the life giver of Jesus. People are choosing Barabbas, choosing to stay in confusion, choosing to stay in that place and not letting Jesus change their entire life. But I come today to tell you, Jesus is offering to everybody in this building eternal life, not just for Christmas season, but also period. Just period. I'm asking today if somebody would choose Jesus. As Bethany begins to make her way up here, as we get ready to close this service today. Today, when the service is over, we do have some treat bags back there. Be sure to grab one of those as you go out the door. got some apple and an orange and some candy. You may think, well, what's he announcing that in the middle of this? Because a lot of folks, I'm afraid, might grab their little treat bag and walk out the door. And we may not see them again for a season. Because Jesus is just the reason for a season. And some may take him and hide him on a shelf. Lord, help Corbin. Mama gonna sing, you don't like it. Some may take him and put him on a shelf today. And only get him down in a season when they need him. And some may take Jesus and hide him when friends come over because they're ashamed of him. We don't want everybody to know that I'm a Jesus freak. And some people may leave him here today at church because that is only when they think about him or need him is when they're at church. But I'm asking today, during this Christmas season, are you going to choose Jesus? Are you going to choose Barabbas? You can walk out of here today back into your confusion. You can walk out of here back into some craziness of life. But I promise you today, Jesus is more than just for a season. And if we can make him absolute everything in our life today, he can become everything that you need. See, during this Christmas season, I haven't seen one this year, but I've seen it. Sue Ellen, I've seen it many times in a yard out there. It says Isaiah 9 and 6 because that is a Christmas verse. It's a prophecy of Jesus coming, so they consider it a Christmas verse. And that verse is a powerful verse. It is among one of my top 5 favorite verses in the Word of God because it talks about who Jesus really is. He's more than just a season. This verse tells us, "For unto us a child is born." That's why Isaiah 9 and 6 says, "Unto us a son is given." See, it's a prophecy talking about Jesus. It said, "The government shall be upon his shoulder." In other words, it's saying everything is going to fall on Jesus. He's going to pack it all on his shoulders. And it said, "His name," do we know what his name is, the Savior? His name is Jesus. "His name shall be called Wonderful." When you really get to know who Jesus is, there's nothing no more wonderful than him. He's wonderful. He's great. He is mighty. He goes on to say, he's also the Counselor. You know, we all need counseling every once in a while, don't we? We need somebody that can count. I love my beautiful wife. We can counsel each other, but sometimes there's some things that my wife can't help me with. I love my pastor, Bishop White, so much, and he's helped me with so many things, but sometimes there's things my pastor can't help me with, and I've just got to go to prayer and say, "Jesus, I need you to counsel me in my life right now." And he's the mighty God. That's the next part of that. He said he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Sometimes I need him to be mighty in my life. And sometimes besides Christmas, I needed him to be the mighty God in my life when my mom left this world. I need him to be the mighty God in my life a few years ago when Jakin faced that battle in his life. I need him to be the mighty God in my life when Bethany was going through some trauma in her life and depression and heartaches and she was hurting so bad that she was cutting herself. I needed God to be mighty in that situation. And the Everlasting Father. He also said, "Be the Everlasting Father." I know some of you can relate with this. I lost my dad November the 13th of 1994 to that hunting accident. And there's been a lot of times I needed my dad. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. I needed my dad. Some of your dads may have walked away from you. If they have, I'm sorry. And you've not had your dad there in your life. But I'm going to tell you what, he's the Everlasting Father. Amen. I can turn to him and say, "Jesus, I need your guidance. I need your protection in my life." See, he's more than just a season. He covers every season of life. And I know we all need this in life. It's the last thing on this list that he said would be the Prince of Peace. This world needs peace right now. Come on, America's not the only place that's in shambles right now. This world's a mess. Lives are a mess. Minds are crazy. Minds are not, if you can be honest with me, everybody in this building within the last week, you've dealt with some trauma in your mind and you're like, "Just can it just stop? Won't it just go away?" Jesus is the Prince of Peace. We we can find a place in Him, Bobby, that will bring peace to our mind in the midst of troubled waters, in the midst of troubled times. He brings peace to my mind through the hurt and through the pain and through the heartaches and through all the stuff that we're going through in life. This is why the prophet said in Isaiah 9 and 6 that His name is going to be wonderful. Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Because He knew He was going to need Him more than just a season. He was going to need Him for everything in our life. If you stand with me today as I bring this to a response today, Jesus is the reason, period, today. Not just this Christmas season. I hope you have a great Christmas. I hope you have a great Christmas. Because here's the truth. If the weather holds true, and I know they don't know everything, we have church scheduled for Thursday night, and we have church scheduled for Christmas Eve night. But the weather does what it says. We may not see each other again for another week and a half because of the weather. So I'm not going to see you then as Christmas comes, but I hope you take Christmas and you love it and you enjoy it with the greatest Christmas you've ever had. But the truth of the matter is, when Christmas is over, let's don't put Jesus back on the shelf. Let's leave Him setting out. Let's leave Him in a car. Let's leave Him on our music list, okay? Let's leave Him in all of our decisions that we make. Let Him be the greatest thing in life to this world. See, Jesus didn't come just so we could have a season to celebrate. He came to save us from our sins every day of our life. And He came to be that wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, and the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. So today, as I close, Bethany sings, I'm going to give you an opportunity to come pray today. If you don't know the Lord, it's a perfect time. Maybe you're cold. Maybe you're indifferent. Maybe you just need to refresh what you feel in your spirit today. I invite you to come to these altars and pray, front seat. If you're not comfortable, maybe you want to pray at their seat right there. That'd be fine too. But it always just says more if we come up here. Would you make Jesus your reason, period? Not just for Christmas, not just in tragedy, not just in hard times, but would you make him the greatest thing in your life today? Come on, could we talk to Jesus today? This is your opportunity to talk to Jesus and pray and seek His face today.
Jesus is in this room, here and now, here and now. If all the heavens are singing along with the saints and the elders in glorious song, and the praises they sing never seem to get old, then I'll stand here forever singing, holy, 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 Lord. God Almighty, over you are, and you'll be forever. Love calling me close. are singing along with the saints and lovers. Glorious song and the praises they sing never seen again. Oh, you're now standing forever singing, holy, holy. Before I die.